Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. I just want to remind you that in our audio library at ExitCoachRadio.com, you will find well over 500 interviews from brilliant authors, advisors, thought leaders, all categorized in 40 different topic file folders, everything from business succession to investing to life after exit to family business issues. 40 different topic file folders, and you can go there and listen at any time to these interviews at no cost, and go to school on some of these wonderful topics that will help you out. My next guest is Brad Williams of Brad Williams Financial Services, and he's from Huntsville, Alabama, and Brad's going to talk to us about millennials and how they are scared to invest. Now, Brad is the president of Brad Williams Financial Services, as I said, and for over 25 years, he's been addressing the financial concerns of retirees and business owners, and he has strong communication skills. We're really looking forward to talking to him, and his singular goal is to treat his clients as if they were his own parents and help them build a sound foundation for their financial house. So he's an advisor worth standing in line to do business with, and we're standing in line, Brad, to talk to you right now. How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you, Brad. So tell us, you've been in business for 25 years, and you work with do you work with a wide variety of ages of folks, or do you focus on a specific category?
Well, for many years, it was mainly retirees, people who are already in retirement. But as my retirees started bringing their children and grandchildren in, I have found the average age of my clientele is probably down in the late 40s versus the mid-60s. So I've had to change how I do things simply because I have a whole new, really, segment of clients.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And, of course, there's transfers of wealth going on and different issues for people now looking forward. The retirees a lot are looking for income, and the younger folks are still saying, well, how do I grow my money, and what can I look forward to? So how has the millennials' life experiences affected their attitudes about investing? What's your experience with that?
Well, having two daughters, one that has just graduated from college last year and another one in college, and meeting all their friends and then really reviewing what has transpired in their lives. When you think about the life experiences that millennials have had, you think, you know, the dot-com bubble that happened early in the 20th century or 21st century, you know, in that 2000-2001 that caused so much problems, and we had, you know, three down years after that. And then the 2008 financial crisis where the banking industry was shaken. You had Bear Stearns, you had stock market crash, and then the housing bubble. So when they look back at things, they don't see security. They see turbulence. And so that's really colored their perception of what's going forward. And then I look at my daughter graduated from Auburn with a degree in mathematics. And although she has recently found the kind of job she's looking for, it took her a year to really get in there because the job opportunities for college graduates, you know, they're not what they used to be. There's just not as many of them. So when you look at investing and your typical home ownership that happens to people as they get out of college and then the job market, they look at things a little different than we do.
And as part of it, that they've experienced a different form of parenting from their parents as they reached out for the gold ring, the baby boomers, and then a lot of them were disappointed down the road. I mean, so many baby boomers are so not prepared for retirement. So I've heard that from the millennials. See, like, you know, we've watched our parents work very hard, and for what? Of course, the opposite's true. A lot of people have done very well, but so many are struggling still. Does that affect the millennials' mentality?
Yes, I would think so. And what I found with many of my daughter's friends, they are more apt to save. And they're looking at things from, you know, they're going to have to provide their own security. And you're right. They grew up different than we did. You know, I started delivering papers when I was 11 years old. I always made my own money, not because my parents needed it, but because I just did it. They just instilled that work ethic in me. And
sure,
so many
sure.
millennials didn't even work in high school. I mean, when you and I probably grew up, I'm not sure your age, but it was just standard. You got a job at McDonald's or something like that. You just worked and made your own money. And the millennials just really, in many cases, had a lot of stuff handed to them. So they've got different values. But those that are getting out in the world and experience that are realizing they gotta take care of themselves.
Well, to answer your question, I'm 56, and I always had a job. I mean, from the time I was probably 13, 14 years old, I was working, doing something, whether it was, you know, in the neighbor's yard or in a kitchen somewhere, or doing something for my own money. And you're right. A lot of them these days
And
in some cases, the jobs may not be available, or certainly, but in a lot of cases they are, and it's just more of a reflection of how we've allowed our kids to. We want our kids to have a better life, I guess. Everybody wants that for the next generation. But
when you think I look back at my life, and you know, my dad was in the military early on, and he was a fighter pilot in the Marine Corps. And so when my early stages were living on base, and then when he went in the corporate world and moved his way up, we were always doing better, getting a little better house next time, moving here. And so they watched us go up, or we watched them go up, and we realized it was a process. And so when we got out of college, we didn't expect to have the corner office and a big salary and immediately have a big house and a car like apparently a lot of these millennials have in their expectations. To us, it was a process. I'm 58, so I'm right near you. So they have, again, different expectations, and I think those are having to be tempered.
Well, and technology just didn't really exist the way we know it now, and neither did fast food. McDonald's that we hamburger we ever ate, right?
And that was a special treat.
That was a special treat, exactly. And those service types of businesses were few and far between. And it's just an interesting age. So I guess we can go on that for a long time. But let's talk about how their priorities are different than other generations, their priorities. What are they thinking as millennials that is a priority rather than maybe where we thought, I'll get a job, I'll work there 30 years, I'll get a pension plan and a gold watch?
Well, you know, they have a different path. And you that was a good segue into what I was going to say is, the fact that when we grew up, it was like you go to college, and then you get a job, and then you get married, and then you buy a home, and then you start raising a family. And that was just like the sequence of events that most people typically went through. And they're delaying their weddings. They're looking at the job market differently because they don't see jobs the way we did. They're not as secure. The economy's moving so fast because of technology, like you have said, that you know, some businesses that you would have thought, I mean, look at us. When we grew up, if you got a job at GM or IBM or something like that, you were set for life. Well, that's not the case anymore. And so as things change, you know, people are moving from job to job. And, you know, you look at the student debt that these kids have. When we were going through college and you didn't have the money to pay, you just sat out a semester and saved your money and went back in and finished it. Or you went to community college, or you just didn't go out and get $33,000 or $50,000 student debt. I was reading some notes that the average student debt is $33,000. Now, fortunately,
wow.
We were able to get my daughters or my oldest daughter through with no student debt, but it took a lot of sacrifice on her mom and I's part. And she got through in 4 years. You know, that's another thing, is not going on the 6-year plan. You know, she got through right. on the 4-year plan. But the student debt is really puts a lot of burden on them. And then when you look at the future, and when you think about the job market in the future, their priorities are different, because they're not seeing the security and the stability and that step up each time. They're wondering if they're even going to be at the same level next year that they are now. Not that they're going to move up, but that they might have to move down, because they've seen a lot of parents and family members through these financial crises move down.
That's got to be scary for them, especially seeing it happening to their parents and to, you know, people who thought that they were set for a long time. And there's also been this uptick in what I would call the technology entrepreneurial myth, where everybody thinks that I see this a lot on podcasts and iTunes, for instance. A lot of the podcasts are about how to shortcut life, how to never, you know, really work for a company a day in your life. And you know what's interesting about that, Brad, is I think I've had other guests, and we've talked about, you know, way back when, before the Industrial Revolution, everybody was an entrepreneur. Everybody owned a business or a farm or something. And then we came through this wave of the Industrial Revolution, and people got jobs. And now it's almost like we're heading back towards self-employed portfolio kind of work.
I would agree with that, and that's how a lot of my daughter's friends look at it. And I see the industrious ones, the ones that are really working hard to move up, they tend to have little side businesses and have little ideas to start this or start that. And even though they're in good jobs or decent jobs, and so they're looking, like you said, we're almost going back to pre-industrial revolution, where, you know, everyone was an entrepreneur, as you said.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then how does that affect, you know, the millennial who says, but I still, you know, I want to put something aside, I want to put something away, but maybe now I don't have access to the 401k, or maybe I do. What should I be doing? What should I be doing now to prepare myself for self-sufficiency someday?
Well, the biggest concern they have is one we didn't have early, and that's Social Security. As I talk to my younger clients, and I'm doing a financial plan, and I use the e-money software, which I love, but one of the things that I get told by some of my referrals from existing clients to their youngers, you know, their children or grandchildren, is they don't even want to see Social Security on the plan. That don't even include that. I'm not going to count on
it. It's a myth to them?
Well, they just don't think it's going to be there. And, you know, there's when you constantly hear Social Security's in trouble, and, you know, today they're talking on the radio about the disability fund running out in 2016, and what are we going to do about that? And they hear all this uncertainty in those. They just don't want to include it. And so, you know, those that are investing, and I see my daughter, and she just recently got married, and her my son-in-law, they're saving money. They're trying to put money away, but they're not sure where to put it, and they're being very safe. In fact, one study I read that even the millennials that are in their 401ks are too heavily in cash. They're too much. They've got too much money in cash because they're afraid of the stock market. They watched that turbulence over the last 15 years, and they just don't trust it. In fact, when you think about, as you mentioned, the techno businesses, and how many programs have you heard being marketed about trading in the stock market, you know, day trading or, you know, trading the moves. And they look at, in many of them, they look at the stock market as a short-term thing where you get in, you get out, and not a long-term buy and hold type situation like we did.
Okay, so they're thinking about, well, attention spans are shorter. I guess that might be part of it.
Yes, you're exactly right.
But you know, you think about what kind of impact would that have on funds and managers of funds if they see an uptick in short-term trading into those funds. So are they thinking more of getting out of funds and getting more into individual portfolios with you?
Well, the ones that I work with we're building portfolios, and so they're wrapping their hands around that. But as I look at some of them when they come in who are involved in 401ks, and I see how heavy their cash positions are, and then I read some of these studies that show, I think it was one that said like 52% were out of equities and in cash, even during this last, you know, 3 or 4 years. And the advisor is going to have to help them wrap their hands around the fact that the stock market's like walking uphill with a yo-yo. I mean, it's going to trend up, but it's going to go up and down on the way up. And you just have to not look at the short term. You have to look at the long term, as long as it's being managed properly and attention's being paid. Now, the days of buying a dividend paying stock and putting it in your portfolio and forgetting about it, they're over. But that doesn't mean that buy and hold is dead. It just means you need to buy and watch.
Yeah, and I think that's difficult. I know from my perspective, when I look at it, I feel like I don't even know if the fundamentals support where the market is. I'm nervous about it. How would clients feel about it when they hear so much turmoil still out there, and then the market takes off, and how much of that is because there's no good alternative because the government's kept those yields down so low?
Well, I would totally agree with you, and there really is no rational reason that the market's as high as it is except for free money. And so you've got to be looking at alternatives that provide you little bit of safety, and you've got to diversify them right and look at things from a standpoint of a reasonable rate of return. You don't get home run hits every year. And – you know, if you pick up the Money Magazine and find the best funds of last year, they're probably not going to be on this year. So you're not always going to be hitting home runs. You've got to work with your clients to show them that it's all about reasonable rates of return and consistency.
Good point. So what you're saying is the rear view mirror is not a good crystal ball.
Not at all.
Brad, great talking with you. Great advice. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, I see that you have a website that is www.askbradwilliams.com. Is that the best way for them to find out more about you?
That is the best way. And like I've always told my clients, if you have a financial question, just ask Brad Williams.
Brad, a wonderful talking with you. Thanks so much for joining us, and I would invite you to come back on at some time in the future and talk to us again, because I can tell we'll always have a lot of fun talking together. So thanks again for joining us, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you for having me. You too.
We're gonna take just a short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay with us.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Business owners, if you came back from lunch and there was a resignation letter on your desk, which employee would you really, really not want it to be from? What are you doing to prevent this from happening? At Exit and Retirement Strategies, we design plans that attract, motivate, and retain key employees. For a free consultation, call Bill Black, the Exit Coach, at 866-370-3774. Call today.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.